on. Third John, the Bible reads, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbid them that would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord. Please bless Pastor Shelley as he gets ready to preach. Fill him with your spirit and strength, and please keep all distractions to a minimum. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I can't think of a better day for it to rain and pour than the day that our adversary shows up to protest us again. So praise the Lord on the rain, all right? Look at verse number 4 where the Bible reads, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And it's a great verse. It's a verse that's pretty popular, pretty famous. And it's an aspect of a parent looking at their children and gaining joy from their children walking in truth. And what I want to kind of do with this verse is just kind of look at it from the other side, or look at it from the kind of the reverse application. From a children's perspective, if a child decides to walk in truth, then you know what that's going to do? It's going to give joy unto your father. So you can take this verse and not only just look at it from the parental's perspective, but you could look at it from a perspective of the child and saying, if I want my parents to be pleased with me, if I want my parents to have joy from me, then I need to walk in truth. And so the title of my sermon this morning is Giving Your Father Joy. Giving Your Father Joy. So if you want to give your father joy, how are you going to do that successfully? Well, you're going to walk in truth. By walking in truth, you're going to end up giving your father the greatest joy that he can possibly receive. And today's Father's Day, and so if you truly want to make your father happy, physically or spiritually, it's through walking in truth. Now go to Proverbs for a moment, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time in Proverbs here for my first point, and Proverbs gives a lot of great information, but I have 3 points this morning on how you're going to give that joy to your father. How do you give joy to your father? Well, obviously it comes through walking in truth, but there's a few layers here that we want to look at and talk about. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." So we have in Proverbs chapter number 1 a very clear instruction. What is that? It's to hear your father. You need to listen to your parents. If you want your dad to be pleased with you, if you want your father to have joy of you, you need to actually pay attention and listen, hear the instructions that it gives you. That's the first point. So if your children don't listen to you, it's going to be grievous. If your children just don't care what you say, they don't want to listen to your instructions, they don't want to listen to your commandments, you know, that's going to be very frustrating. You know, as a parent, you don't want to have to give your children the instructions over and over and over again. You want them to pay attention. You want them to listen. You want them to take it to heart, everything that it is that you say. Now, if you're going to be a wise person, back up to verse 5, it says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So if you want wisdom, you have to be someone that's willing to hear. You don't gain wisdom through talking. You don't gain wisdom through your own means. You get wisdom through hearing. And that hearing's going to come from someone else. And one of the greatest people to learn information from is from your father. Your father is a great source of information, a great source of wisdom. Your father was a young man once himself. Your father went through a lot of the same difficulties and struggles that you did. And so fathers have a great ability to give instruction unto their children. And a wise man's going to hear, he's going to listen to the instruction of his father. Look at verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. So again, he keeps talking to his son. And the book of Proverbs is really, you know, mostly a parent giving instruction unto his child. It's a constant instruction of a father to a son. That's one of the most common themes that you see through the book of Proverbs. And when we look at Proverbs, it's some of the greatest wisdom in the entire Bible. I mean, if you were to say, where's some of the greatest advice for life? Or where's some of the greatest wisdom in the Bible? You turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, every verse, every line, even just simple phrases contained in each verse have just infinite wisdom inside of them. And so if you want to gain wisdom, you need to hearken unto the voice of your father. And this father is giving instruction to his son not to go in the way of sinners, not to get it caught up with the wicked, not to get exposed to all the evil that's out there. And look, evil abounds. Bad friends exist today. Bad people exist today. Bad movements that you can get caught into. And his father's giving instruction to the son saying, look, don't go around these people. Don't hang out with these people. You know, even my parents at times would give me advice about what type of friends to have, what type of people to hang out with. And sometimes it's not fun to hear. It's not something that you want to hear. No, I like that guy. I like those people. I want to be cool. I want to hang out with them. I want to go and do this stuff like they're doing. Yet a parent is not trying to just rain on the parade of their children. He's looking and observing, and he's saying, you know what? That's going to be harmful to my child. I need to give them this instruction to benefit them. And so as children, we need to realize parents oftentimes are giving us advice for our own benefit. Go to Proverbs 2, look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So again, he's trying to get him to receive his words. How do you receive his words? You got to hear them. You got to listen to them. You got to open up your ears and be willing to hear. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. Again, this is God in the Bible telling you, children, listen to your dad. Listen to your father. When your father gives you instruction, you need to open up your ears and you need to listen and pay attention to the words of his mouth. Why? Because what your dad says matters. The Bible says to honor thy father and thy mother. That's a clear commandment in the Bible. And so whatever your dad says, you need to be ready to hear and receive his instruction. Look at verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. So again, the instruction of a father is trying to preserve his son. No parent wants to lose their child. You know, any loving parent, they want their child to live as long as they possibly can. And so they're often going to give them instructions on how to live a long and successful life, not getting mixed up with the gangs, not getting mixed up with drugs, not getting mixed up with foolishness, having a good job, loving his family, going and doing that which is right. Even bad parents, even parents that have made lots of mistakes, they often still give good advice to their children because they just don't want their children to walk down the same bad path that they did. Parents, oftentimes, there's something innate in a parent to try and give good advice to their children, even if they're a screw-up, even if they did wrong. Go to Proverbs chapter 5, look at verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. So again, hearkening unto the instruction of your father. Proverbs chapter 7, look at verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 33. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. You know what's never going to kill you? Advice. Advice can only make you wiser. And even if it's bad advice, you could reject bad advice, but you should always be willing to hear advice. You should always be willing to hear instruction. You don't want to turn off the communication between a parent and a child. You want that parent to feel like they can constantly give instruction to their child. But when a parent is constantly giving instruction to their child and they won't hear it, sometimes they stop speaking. Sometimes they stop communicating. Sometimes they don't want to give you any more advice, any more instruction. And so it's a dangerous thing to try and stop listening to instruction, to refuse instruction, to not hearken unto instruction. We should always be quick to hear and slow to speak is what the Bible says. Look at Proverbs 23. Go to Proverbs 23. How many verses have we already looked at where the Bible is just hammering, listening to your parents, hearkening unto the voice of your father, getting the instruction from your parents? Why? Because it's so important. You know, there's certain commandments in the Bible that are only mentioned once or twice or a couple times. This is just mentioned over and over and over and over and over. Why? Because it's very important. And some of us are thick of hearing. Sometimes we need to hear, hey, you need to listen to your dad like 1,000 times. And then we're still not quite getting it. Why? Because we have this rebellious culture that we live in. We see a lot of teenagers rebelling against their parents, not listening to their parents. And usually they never grow up. They just stay stuck in that rebellious teenage attitude and spirit. And once they become a man, well, now I don't have to. Now I'm legally able to just refuse the instruction of my parents. You know when you're done listening to your parents? When they're dead. There's no like, well, once you turn 18, you don't have to though. Once you're 17, I mean, you're pretty much an adult by now, you know. Just give up on listening. No. You still listen to your parents. You still hearken under their instruction. You're still willing to gain advice and wisdom and instruction from your parents. The Bible keeps hammering it. Why? Because it's so important. Yet people today, they want to turn off the advice and instruction of a parent. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Look at verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. You say, well, I don't know, you know, father, what does that mean? It's the one that begat you. I mean, he's just making it real explicit. The one that gave, you know, you life, you need to hearken unto, you need to listen to his instruction, and you're going to get a lot of wisdom that comes from that. You know, the world, though, they like to reject the advice of their father. And while this is in a carnal sense, it also ends up becoming into a spiritual sense, doesn't it? People don't want to listen to God the Father, don't they? People don't want to hearken to the instruction of God's words, do they? They're not interested in the Bible. If I just go up and down the street and I just say, hey, I saw something really cool in the Bible. Do you want to hear it? How many people would say yes? Probably very few, wouldn't it? It's sad. It's sad that people aren't interested in God's words. People aren't interested in God's instruction. People aren't interested in becoming wise. And you know what? I guarantee they have the same problem with their earthly father too. People that aren't interested in hearing their earthly father oftentimes aren't interested in hearing from God's word either. And it's a shame. And you're going to end up becoming a fool because God has great instruction. God has great wisdom. And if our world would listen to God's advice, we would have no problems. Our problems come from rebellion. Our problems come from rejecting God's voice and rejecting his clear wisdom. And the same happens with a lot of children. A lot of children, if they just listened to their parents, if they just obeyed the instruction of their father, they wouldn't have a lot of the problems and consequences they have today. And look, obviously our earthly fathers are earthly. They're not perfect. Sometimes they can give bad advice, but you should always be willing to listen to their advice. Always be willing to listen to their instruction. And I don't care if they're saved or unsaved. You know what? Unsaved parents can give good advice too. You know, the Bible isn't saying, you know, honor your father if he's saved. Hearken to your father if he's saved. Get the wisdom from your father that begat thee if he's saved. It doesn't have those caveats. It just says hearken. Now, obviously, if there became a conflict where God's saying one thing and your earthly father's saying the other, well, I'm going to obey the Father in heaven, okay? But I'm still going to be respectful to my earthly father, and I'm still going to give him honor and respect, and I'm still going to listen to his instructions no matter what they are. You know, and even if he's saved and not that godly, I'll still listen to him. I don't care who he is. You listen to the instructions of your father. And you know what? My father, I'm blessed because my earthly father and heavenly father are both very intelligent. Now, obviously, God the Father is infinitely more intelligent than anybody else. But, you know, my father is actually someone that's like a very severely high IQ, just a very astute person, very knowledgeable. And so it would be very unwise of me to not listen to his instructions. Here's one. My dad's never believed in the pre-trib rapture. And he's always told me he never believed in the pre-trib rapture. But you know what? For a long portion of my life, I believed in the pre-trib rapture. You know what? Egg on my face, right? Because that's stupid. It's a false doctrine. And he would say, look, John, there's no verse in the Bible that says there's a pre-trib rapture. I should have been like, that's a pretty good statement. You know, I should be like, wow, you're right, you know. But I just was ignorant. I was foolish. I also had that same rebellious attitude to think, well, I probably know more than him. Or he's just not, he doesn't understand things like I understand things. Rather than sitting down and listening to the instructions. You know, and frankly, you know, my father has given me so much good advice. And, you know, fortunately, I've listened to a lot of it, not all of it, but just my own personal experiences. I think it's good to look at the attributes of your father and think about them and praise them and realize if he's really good in this area, I should be willing to take advice in this area. Now, for me personally, my dad, he was in Wheel of Fortune at one point. And why? Because to get on that show, you have to take a bunch of tests, especially back then. And you had to like win basically in those competitions. And then if you won in those competitions, you get to go on Wheel of Fortune. And he wasn't the total winner on the episode that he went on, but he did win like several prizes. He won like macaroni for a year or something. So they built like a sandbox of macaroni. We could just play. Or it wasn't just macaroni. I think it was just like all Italian like shell products, you know, just like the macaroni noodles basically, and just all kinds of different noodles that you could just have. And so he just built this sandbox. You know, my sister followed in his footsteps because my sister actually went on Wheel of Fortune too. And she was actually the grand prize winner. She won it all. She even won the showcase showdown. Or not the, I'm thinking prize right. She won the end prize, the end bonus puzzle or whatever. It was Lubbock, Texas was the answer to that prize. But so, you know, but again, she carried a lot of those same genes. She got a lot of the same wisdom that my father did. You know, my dad, he built his own Scrabble board. He loves Scrabble. You know, he pretty much is going to beat anybody at Scrabble, except for he complains about getting the bad letters, okay? It's like, I always get Q's and X's and Z's, and I can't do anything with them. But, you know, I remember whenever I was studying for the ACT and the SAT, and I was talking with my dad, and I wouldn't know a word or I wouldn't know something, and he was always very incredulous. And I think it's just because he had so much information and so much knowledge that it was just difficult for him to understand other people don't. But I'd be like, you wouldn't do good on this test. So I go through and I open the book, okay, and I start asking him questions. I ask him every single question. He gets every single one right. He never missed a single question. You could ask him any ACT question, any SAT question. He always knew what every word meant. He knew every answer. And I was just sitting there like, okay, well, you know, I don't know what to say. He writes his own crossword puzzles and he tries to submit them to different newspapers like the New York Times and stuff like that. That's kind of his goal now, is to try and get his crossword puzzle in the New York Times or whatever, because it's kind of a pretty big achievement. But, you know, my father, while he's not perfect, he has a lot of great attributes. He has a lot of good things that I can look up to and learn from. And, you know, I'll probably never be as intelligent or wise as him as far as in a human sense, because he just has a sharper mind. He understands information better. He's more well-read. But, you know, I shouldn't look at that as a competition. I should look at that as, hey, I have a great opportunity here to gain information and wisdom from my father. You know, someone that's very intelligent, someone that's very wise. Go if you would to 1 Kings chapter number 2. And I'm sure if you were to think about your father, there are certain characteristics and attributes of him that, you know, are something to be admired. Hey, my father's really good at fixing cars. Hey, my dad is really good at hunting. My dad is really intelligent. My dad, you know, whatever attributes that your father has, you should look at those as an opportunity to gain information and instruction and wisdom from your father. Because I guarantee there's some areas that he succeeds in. I guarantee he has some good attributes that you can draw from. And so you should be willing to hear the instruction of your father. 1 Kings chapter 2, look at verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So we have David, King David, he's about to die, he's about to go on, and his son Solomon is going to take the throne, and David is giving instructions unto Solomon. Now, what should Solomon do? He should listen to the instructions of his father. What were some of those instructions? Well, he said very clearly in verse number 2, to be strong. He's telling him, hey, you need to be strong, and you need to show thyself a man. Meaning what? A man has strength. A man is not someone who's weak. Now, what does Solomon have to do right at the beginning of his kingdom? Well, he has to start killing people. He has to take out Joab, and he has to take out, you know, all the Shimei, and he has to start taking out a lot of these wicked people that his dad had left over that he was unable to take care of. He says, you know what, Solomon? Take care of these guys. Adonijah, your brother. Look, it takes a lot of strength to take out these type of people. Joab was the captain of the host. I mean, Joab was one of the bravest generals. He was one who killed many men himself. I mean, to go and attack Joab, to go and attack Adonijah, your brother, who was set up as the king and has gained admiration from a lot of people, that takes a lot of courage to go out against these type of people. But he listened to the instruction of his father. He was a strong person. He was a man. Therefore, his kingdom was established. And you know what? If you want to be a man, if you want to be in a position of leadership, sometimes you have to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to get in there and do an ugly, dirty job that nobody else wants to do. But you know what? That was the instruction David gave to his son Solomon. He took it. Verse 3, to keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. So he's talking about a lot of the word of God. What does Solomon ask for? He wants wisdom from God. He wants to know God's instruction. He wants to gain the wisdom so that he can judge his people. He can judge the kingdom that has been given unto him. The only way to judge is to know the law. And so he's asking God to give him the wisdom to understand the law, to make right judgments. Solomon was taking the instruction of his father. He started listening to the instruction of his father. That's how he knows what to pray for. He didn't pray for long life. He didn't pray for riches. He prayed for wisdom to understand the law so that he could do the instructions that his father gave him. He says, if you do these things, you're going to prosper in all that you'll do. And truly, Solomon prospered in all that he did. I mean, a man of great wealth, a man of great understanding, a man with a great kingdom. He had peace with all of his enemies. And it makes it very clear here that not only do you need to hear the instruction of the father, though, you actually have to do it. You know, it's one thing to hear, it's one thing to understand, it's another thing to actually do it. And in fact, understanding is tied to doing it. Because if I give you an instruction, you hear it, and you can acknowledge the words, but you don't do it, what do people usually say? Did you not understand? You say, hey, don't touch that. They touch it, it's like, did you not understand? It's like they could have heard it, but when you don't do it, it shows you have a lack of understanding. Understanding is proven by your actions. And so my second point, if you want to give your father joy, if you want to give him some happiness, not only do you need to hear, you need to obey. Because if you don't obey, it really isn't going to matter that much. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 6. If you want your father to be pleased with you, you need to hear his instructions, but most importantly, you need to obey them. And this comes with the Bible too. Say, well, God's really pleased with me because I show up at Steadfast Baptist Church and I hear a lot of preaching. I listen to a lot of preaching. That's not going to be pleasing to God the Father's sight. What's going to be pleasing is when you do it. What's going to be pleasing is when you obey the instructions that are given to you from God's Word, not just listening to them, not just hearing them. And in fact, you know, when we're just comparing Christians, just apples to apples, saved to saved, God's going to be more upset at the guy that's heard the instruction and not doing it than the guy that hasn't heard. You know, there's more grace to those that are ignorant. So you ought to be careful coming and hearing good instruction and then not doing it. That's dangerous. I would not want to be the person that clearly understands the instructions of my boss and doesn't do the work. Because the boss is going to give more grace unto the employees that were ignorant. The boss is going to give more lenience to the people that didn't clearly understand the instructions. They'll say, okay, maybe you didn't understand. Let me give you the instructions again. Whereas when you say, no, I understood, No, I know exactly what you said. I just chose not to do it. Then there's going to be serious consequences to those actions. And so the things that you understand, you ought to be careful how you hear. You ought to take heed what you hear and the words of instruction that have been given unto you, because there's plenty of people that I see, I give them clear instruction. I tell them things very clearly, and then they don't do it. They argue with it. They reject it. And look, I'm not your father, but at the end of the day, I'm just trying to give you the words of God the Father, okay? And when I see you disobeying God the Father's instructions and not hearkening to God and Father's instructions, I'm thinking, there's going to be a punishment for that. You know, it's not my opinion here. It's God's word. It's God's instructions. And, you know, I try to do my best to just give you God's instructions. If I give you my own personal opinion, I try to tell you this is how I do it. But at the end of the day, you know, you're going to be held responsible for the instructions you've heard from God's holy word. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So even if you didn't read the book of Proverbs, children, you still got it in Ephesians right here. Children, obey your parents. You say, hey, I want to be a pleasing child to my parents. It's through obedience. Right. Your parents love it when you obey. They're upset when you don't obey. It says in verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Those who hearken to their parents are going to be the same type of people that listen to God's instructions. And when you listen to God's instructions and clear commandments, he's going to preserve your life. He's going to give you the instructions of how to preserve yourself from all kinds of danger. And he promises you, he actually says, look, you can test me on this one. You obey your father and your mother, and you'll have a long life. You know, there's no other promise like that. There's no other instructions that say, hey, you can have a long life. You know, I'd be a terrified adult if I thought, you know what? I always just rebelled against my parents. Well, death's just knocking on your door, buddy. I don't want to, you better be looking over your shoulder. Hey, if you're a child that obeyed your parents, you can say, you know what? I have the opportunity to live a very long life. Because God promised me that if I honor my father and my mother, he's going to give me long life. You know, and you look at people that live to be 80, 90, people are always asking these questions like, you know, what do you eat? What do you drink? You know? And you know what they never say? Oh, I eat a lot of kale. I'm a vegan. You know, all these fad diets. Do you ever hear the 80 and 90-year-olds saying like, oh, I'm on this really unique fad diet? I never hear that. They're like, I smoke and I drink Dr. Pepper and, you know, I eat fast food all the time. You know what the question they should be asking? How well did you obey your parents? You know, everybody's so concerned with their health and living a long life, yet you know what one of the best ways is to have a long life? Obeying your parents. Yeah. Honoring your father and your mother. Look, I would rather eat McDonald's every day of my life and obey my parents than to not eat, obey them. And eat kale, which I never want to eat kale, but you know. Or whatever weird fad diet that people get on. And look, I'm not against eating healthy. I think that we should eat healthy and we should take to heed God's instructions about food, because God tells us to eat the fruit and eat the seed thereof, and he gives us instructions to eat daily bread. So yeah, hey, it tells us to eat milk. Sounds like all your fad diets are destroyed. Milk and bread and meat. I mean, that's the instructions of the Bible. So you know what I eat? Milk and bread, you know. I eat the things that God prescribed, right? The seed, the fruit. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at another verse. But as a child, we need to obey the instructions of our parents, and we need to ultimately obey the instructions of our Father in heaven, God. This is showing them respect. See, how do I show respect to my parents? Obeying them. When you don't obey, it shows a lack of respect. Right. Respect can only be shown through obedience, not through words. Well, I really respect you, but I don't do what you say. It doesn't really matter. You can prove your respect through hearkening to their instruction. It says the same thing in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Notice again, it says in all. He doesn't give some caveat and say, obey when you like it. Obey when you agree. Obey when you think it's good. No, you just obey, period. The only caveat to any instruction is we always obey God rather than men. But at the end of the day, if your parents give you instruction, you do it. You obey. You follow their voice. Go to Titus chapter 2. Go to Titus chapter 2. Now, what do a lot of children like to do when given instruction? Well, look at Titus chapter 2, verse 9. This is a different scenario, but it's relatable. It says in verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient under their own masters and to please them well in all things. Notice this phrase, not answering again. Not answering again. If you want your dad to be pleased with you, don't answer again. Hey, go clean your room. Well, but I don't know. I don't want to. Go clean your room. You know, back talk is always bad. Back talk is always wrong. And it on the job, that's the admonition here is on the job. But notice obedience was pleasing unto your boss. It's also pleasing to your father. It's also pleasing to God the Father. Not back talking, not answering again, not saying, well, I don't want to. Well, they got one. You say, hey, go to bed. And they're like, well, they got a cookie. Doesn't matter. Go to bed. Well, I want a cookie. Doesn't matter. Go to bed. You know, and if they don't get it, pretty soon the rod of correction will help them get it. But at the end of the day, we should just say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, what, you know, here's your food. Well, I don't want to eat that. Nope. You just say thank you. Hey, I don't want to go to that restaurant. You don't say that. You just say, thank you. Thanks for taking me out to dinner. Thanks for buying me a meal. Thanks for buying me clothes. Thanks for getting me a present. Thanks for just anything that you get from your parents. There's no answering again. There's no back talk. There's no mouthing off. Well, mom lets me do it this way. Well, dad lets me do it. No. You just say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and you keep your mouth shut, children, and you just obey. If you want to give your dad joy, don't answer again. Don't backtalk. Don't argue. Just say, yes, sir. You know what is really frustrating? Backtalk.
Yeah.
You want to just slap their face off. You want to just crush them. It's the most infuriating thing is the backtalk. And you know what? I think Christians do the same thing with God, don't they? Christians today, they hear God's commandments. They hear God's advice. Yet they constantly want to argue with God and say, that's not really what he meant, or that's not for me, or this isn't fair. And look, why do they say it's not fair? Because it's something really difficult. You say, well, my spouse divorced me. What do you think I should do, Pastor Shelley? Should I get remarried? Well, the Bible says no. Well, that's not fair. It's not fair. But you know, you should just say, yes, sir. You know, and people will not hearken to that advice, and they'll go and they'll get in a really bad second marriage, and they'll be like, wow, I should have not gotten that marriage too. You know, I've known plenty of people that didn't take that advice, and guess what? It did not work out for them. And look, you say, well, I already made that mistake. I married someone that was divorced. Well, you know what? God can still bless your marriage, but you know what? You should stay in that marriage, and you should hearken to his instructions now. Wherever you find yourself, whatever situation you find yourself in, there's never a bad time to start obeying, but you have to realize when you disobey, there's consequences. When you break God's commandments, there's consequences. And you know what? Whatever God instructs me, whatever God commands me, whether I like it or not, I'm supposed to just say, yes, sir. Amen. Well, this person needs to be thrown out of church. Well, I don't like that. I'm supposed to just say, yes, sir. Hey, this verse says, you know, to publicly expose them. Well, that's not going to be very fun. That's not going to be very popular. I'm supposed to just say, yes, sir. Rebuke with all authority. It's like they're going to think that I'm just this tyrant. They're going to think that I'm just, you know, being so mean. I'm supposed to just say, yes, sir. Going to church. Well, it's raining outside. Well, you get to see God rain on some filthy, disgusting faggot, you know, out here. And if he's not one yet, he will be eventually, probably. Look, I mean, when you just follow God's instructions, he's not giving you grievous commandments. His commandments are not grievous. Whatever God says, fix it. Whatever God commands, don't constantly argue. Don't constantly bad talk. Well, I don't want to dress that way. Dress that way.
Amen.
And you know what? We need some fathers today to stand up and tell their daughters, don't dress like a whore.
Right.
And then for the daughter to say, yes, sir. Right. Not like, well, this is what all the girls are wearing. All the girls are showing off their stuff. All the girls dress like a whore. I don't care. Put some godly clothing on. And we need some men to stand up and give the instructions of a father so that daughters can just say, yes, sir. You know what? I'm not going to dress that way. I'm not going to act that way. I'm gonna obey what my parents tell me. Go over to Luke chapter 15. Now look, I myself have fallen victim to this situation, all right? I'm going to give you a personal story, all right? I played a lot of golf growing up, and my dad would often caddy for me. So he, what is a caddy? A caddy is the one that carries your clubs. They hand you your club. They give you advice. They tell you, hey, try to hit it over here. Did you notice there's water on this side? Or, you know, maybe you should use this club. Or they'll try to give you a yardage. They're just there to kind of assist you. And hope, you know, as a father, my dad, he knows my game pretty well. He's watched me play a lot of golf. He knows my pitfalls. He knows my problems. Well, he takes me down here to Las Colinas. So Las Colinas is a nice area. They have a really nice golf course called TPC Four Seasons. And they used to play a professional golf tournament on that course all the time. Well, they're having a junior golf tournament, and he paid several hundred dollars to enter me into this really special tournament. I was qualified. I got to come down here. I got to play in it. You know, bought us a really nice hotel. I mean, spending all kinds of time, money, effort, energy. And I was playing okay. I wasn't playing like great, but I was playing okay throughout the round. And I started playing pretty good in the middle. So we're like on the 14th hole. I don't know if it's like the 14th, 13th, somewhere in there. Don't quote me on that, but pretty close to the end of the round. And I'm like maybe one over par, two over par, which in this junior tournament, something close to par would probably win. You know, it's probably realistic that would probably win on this type of golf course. I mean, it's a pretty difficult golf course. It's a pro golf course. Well, I hit my ball on the right-hand side of the course, and there was a bunch of trees over there. And the green was like kind of a tucked green out on an island. It was like, you know, surrounded by water. And I didn't really have a shot through the trees. There was just too many trees. You couldn't hit it through the trees. But I kind of looked, and I was like, I think I can go over. And I mean, it was really high up. And I'm thinking, like, I could go over this. And so my dad's like handing me like a pitching wedge to just chip it out in the fairway. And I was like, nope, give me like a 9-iron. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm going to hit over those trees. And I was like, I have to make par on this hole or better because, you know, if I want to win, like, I can't make a bogey here. You know, I need to just try and take every opportunity. And he says, no, chip out and then hit on the green and you'll make the putt, you'll make par and move on. And I was like, no, I needed to hit it over. I can hit it over. And he got mad, and I took the 9-iron, I walk up, I get ready. And I mean, I hit it perfect, I felt like. And it's climbing, it's climbing, it's climbing, and just the very top branch just smacks it hard. I mean, I thought I sailed it over. It just snails, it comes back behind me. So now I'm in like round two. Well, I could chip out and try to hit it on for a bogey, but I'm like, at this point, you know, I got to prove to him that I can hit that shot. So now I got to hit it over again and try to make my par that way. Well, this time I didn't even hit a good shot. I just thin it right into the trees. And now it's just in the prison, okay? Now I'm in a worse position than I was like two shots ago. I still don't chip out. I'm like, all right, I'm going to punch this one out, you know, hit it on the green. I hit it in the trees like five times. At this point, my dad tosses the clubs down and walks in. I ruined the story, okay? Not yet. After five times of just banging around in the trees, I finally pitch out like I should in the first place. And then I knock it to about 10 feet, and I sink it for like a 9, which is exactly what my dad told me to do for par. And then, like, pretty much when I end the round, like, 73 wins the tournament. You know, I could have possibly birdied, like, the next par 5, and I could have shot, like, even. I could have had a chance to win the tournament if I just chipped out like he told me. But as soon as I sank that putt, he just threw my clubs down and walked in. And, you know, I was mad at him, but that was the wrong attitude. You know, my father spent all this money to take me down here. He's putting all this effort and energy. He wants me to win just as much as I do. He gives me good advice to just pitch out, just take my medicine. I decide not to argue his voice, and I just blew it. I just ruined it. Why? Because I'm a rebellious teenager. You know, I think too highly of myself than I ought to think. And look, we all have that situation, don't we? We have that time where your dad gave you a clear instruction, and you say, I know better, and then you totally blew it, didn't you? You totally ruin it. You totally do something wrong. Go to Luke chapter 15. Go to Luke chapter 15. Look at verse 11. Let's get a story of something similar. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. What a great story of a love of a father. Now, this parable has been explained a lot of bad ways, but he has two sons, okay? And if you're saved, you're a son, okay? But just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to automatically follow God's commandments, does it? And there's a lot of people that choose not to follow God's commandments. And there's a lot of children that don't obey their physical parents. But you know what your dad wants more than anything? Is you just finally obey. Just finally just come back and just obey. Notice he didn't come back with anything. He didn't come back with any of the money. He lost it all. He didn't come back with a gift. He didn't come back with any, just hat in hand, just saying, look, I screwed up. I sinned. I did wrong. But I'm here. And notice how the father's not like, well, where's my gift? Where's my money? What'd you do the last few months? A lot of bad stuff, right? He was just glad he was there. And at the end of the day, you say, you know what? Every father in this room wants more than anything is their children to obey. Yeah. What if that kid just stayed away from his dad and just constantly sent him presents, though? Just sent him gifts, just sent him a card, just sent him whatever. That dad didn't want that. The dad wanted him to just come home. The dad just wanted to be around him. And you know what fathers want more than anything is their children to just obey. They don't want just some gift. They don't want just some present. They just want their children to do right. What did we start with? There's no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. There's nothing more you can give to a parent than obedience. There's nothing more you can give to them than just coming home, being around him. And look, he was merry. He was happy. He was excited to have his son in his life. You know, what a shame if you can't even just call your dad, you know, or talk to him or whatever. You know, your father doesn't want a bunch of presents. He just wants you to obey. He wants you to walk in the truth. And the prodigal son, you know, while he screwed up everything, there was always opportunity to come back. There's never a bad time to obey. There's never a bad time to get things right. There's never a bad time to get right with your parents, to get right with any situation. There's always opportunity. And if you look in this chapter, you want to understand this chapter, look back at verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, what is this whole chapter about? It's about someone being lost, okay? 99 persons are doing good, they're just, but then one's off, and the shepherd is going out and finding his lost sheep and bringing him back into the fold. You know, all of you coming to church makes me very happy, okay? But someone that stopped coming to church for a while and is backslidden and is doing wrong, if we could get him to come back to church, I would honestly be a lot more happy that he was here than you guys. Doesn't that make sense? Right. Obviously, I'm glad you're here. I'm not mad, but I'm just saying, if one of the people in this room, you know, left and got caught in the world, but we could bring him back into the fold, it'd be so exciting. It'd be so joyful to say, man, I'm so glad that this person has come back and they're serving God and they're getting right. I'm not going to say, be like, where you been? What all you been doing? Where's all that money? You know, no, I'm just glad that you're here. You know, you should let people live things down if they come back to church. We should be the most welcoming environment. We should be excited if someone comes back to church. Not like, so what's been going on, buddy? What have you been doing? You know, no, we should be excited that they're here. And, you know, that should also be an encouragement to you to say, if you ever find yourself outside these walls, just get back in. Right. Don't... well, they're going to treat me bad, or they're going to be mad at me, or there's going to be all these looks. I'm not going to give you that look. I'm going to be excited you're here. I'm going to be glad you're here. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter number 15. God is not looking for sacrifice. He's looking for obedience. You know, you're not looking for your children to make some great sacrifice for you. You want them to obey. You just want them to follow your instructions. That's all you're really after. You don't want the, you know, some parents, obviously wicked parents, they vicariously live through their children. They want their children to be some celebrity so they can get money, so that they can get fame and all this glory. But a loving parent, they just want good for their child. They don't want their money. They don't want their goods. You know, Barzillai, he wanted his son Kinham to get all the blessings of David. He didn't take them upon himself. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, this is the prophet Samuel admonishing Saul after he's disobeyed God. He says in verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God is saying it's better to obey his commandments than to make some great sacrifice, to try and offer something rather than just obeying his word, than doing that which is right. You know, if I go and I offer a sacrifice on the altar, quote unquote, but my heart's not right with God, he's not interested. He wants my heart to be right with him. He wants me to obey him. He wants me to follow his instructions, not just giving of my money. This is what liberal Christianity doesn't get. You go to the big fun center church, you go to the liberal non-denom church, you know what number 1, 2, 3, 4 admonition is? Give money to the church. Tithe and give your offerings and give all these blessings. It doesn't matter if you're wicked. It doesn't matter if you're sinful. It doesn't matter whatever problems you have. You could be dressed like a whore in church, but as long as you're tithing, and God's saying like, hey, sacrifice, that's good, but you know what's way better? Obedience. Yeah. It's way better to just follow God's commandments than to offer some great sacrifice. That's the real sacrifice that he's after. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So my first point is what? We need to hear the instruction. Number two, we need to obey. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And without the first two, you can't do the third. But my third is, if you want to give joy to your parents, you want to give joy to your father, you need to love your father. Now, the thing you have to understand about love, and what most people don't get, is number point one and two have to exist before you are capable of point three. If you're not listening to your dad and you're not obeying your dad, you don't love your dad. You have to actually hear and obey to be capable of loving them. Notice what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say it's optional. He said that's the evidence of the fact that you even love them. If you don't love them, you won't follow the rules. I don't care how much you say it. I don't care how many cards you give. I don't care, you know, it's not the words that you speak. It's what you do. You can't tell me that your wife is going to say, you know, my husband really loves me. He says it all the time, but he's never home, never talks to me, never does anything for me. He always wants me to make him a sandwich. That's it, you know. Send it in the mail, you know, anonymously. Like, you're going to say, I don't think he loves you. He's always with other women. Oh, but he says it. He says he loves you. That doesn't mean anything. Cheap talk. Talk can be cheap sometimes. And look, God sees the same thing. Talk is cheap.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you're not hearkening and if you're not obeying, you're not loving. Okay. But then there's another aspect above this. Okay. So in order to get to point three, I want you to make it very clear. You have to have the first two steps. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. When we look at Jesus, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why was he so pleased with Jesus? Because he obeyed the Father and everything. He always listened to the Father. And he always obeyed the Father. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. So what is he saying here? Well, he's talking about the fact that if you're saved, you're going to be punished by God when you disobey. If you don't ever get punished, I'm questioning if you're saved. The author is questioning if you're saved. That's not just me. That's the Apostle Paul. He's saying, hey, if you never get punished for breaking God's commandments, are you even saved? You say, what kind of punishment does that look like? Well, hopefully your conscience feels guilty. Hopefully that Holy Spirit's guilting your conscience. You could have all kinds of other physical punishments, losing your job, losing your money, losing your time, losing your health. All kinds of things are going to happen to you when you break God's commandments. And you know, when I break God's commandments, I want to get down on my knees and beg for mercy and grace so that the chastening is as least amount as possible. And you know, a lot of times, if your heart gets that chastening and you pray and ask God, I think he's going to give you that grace. You're not always going to get punished beyond that. But notice what it said in verse number 10, verse number 10 about our physical fathers. It says, a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. Why is it that the parent is punishing their children? For their joy. Notice, why would they punish you? Because you're not obeying. So if you're obeying, you're going to give them joy. It's case closed. But again, if you're not obeying, there is no joy. There's no pleasure. There's no love that's coming. Now, go if you would to Psalms chapter 96. Psalms chapter 96. Why am I bringing up these points? Well, our fathers deserve respect.
Yeah.
And God deserves respect. Now, let's compare this to God and then our earthly father for a moment. After I have listened to my father, after I've obeyed every single one of his commandments, you know I can still love him beyond that? There's other love that you can do. And this is exemplified in the fact that we, as people, have free will. You have free will. You can do whatever you want. Now, just because you listen to someone and just because you obey them does not mean you love them. Think about your boss at work, okay? Think about your drill sergeant in the army. You can listen to him, you can obey him. That does not mean you love him, okay? And the same can be said with your parents. The same can be said with God. And so love can go beyond just following commandments. It comes from a place of free will. It comes from a place of desire in your own heart. Now, what's one of the ways that we can do this to God the Father? We can praise him. You know, obviously we're commanded to do a lot of different things, but we don't have to praise him every day if we don't want to, necessarily, right? I mean, we have that free will choice. Now, if you never praise God, you're going to be breaking his commandment because we're obviously commanded to praise him. But to what extent and to how and to when and how often, that a lot of times comes up to our own free will. We have the opportunity to praise him above and beyond just his commandment, don't we? We have the ability to give him praise whenever we want. And he's worthy of praise. Look at Psalms 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. One of the best ways to love God is to praise him. Sing of his praises. Talk about all the wonderful things he's done in you. Praise God for your wife. Praise God for your children. Praise God for your father. Praise God for your mother. Praise God for your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Praise the Lord for your church. Praise the Lord for the King James Bible. Praise God for your life and your breath. Praise God for all the food that we get to eat. Praise God for all the men that went on before us. Praise God for all the people that helped this church be established to get to the place that it is. I mean, praise God that we have liberty and freedom, that we can still go out and preach the gospel today. Praise God for all the things that he does for us. And you know what? That gives him pleasure. He likes that. Look at Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. I mean, the Bible is just constantly saying, hey, praise the Lord, sing unto the Lord, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, lift up your voice, make a loud noise unto the Lord. Why? He's worthy of our praise. You want to make your Father pleased with you in heaven? Praise Him. You want to make your Father on earth pleased with you? Praise Him for His attributes. Praise Him for the good things that He's done unto you. You know, I got to open my present yesterday, a Father's Day present that I got. And you say, what was your favorite thing? Was it the, you know, I got this cool, like, handheld thing. You can get your phone. You can, like, make movies or whatever. And I got a new wallet. And they probably cost a decent amount of money. But I got a coupon book, too. It's, like, handmade coupon book. And it's like, from the kids. We all know who made it, you know. Kind of like a Santa Claus thing, right? But, you know, the first thing that I got was one free long hug from all the kids. And it had Bible verses next to it. And then it had, you know, help with yard work as the next coupon. Cleaning your room. One compliment. Which, you know, I was like, we need to start mass producing some of these coupons, you know. An hour of silence, especially that one. Prayer, you know, a drink. You know, dads love receiving compliments. You know, when it talks about what men need versus women need, you know what men need? Honor and respect. And you know how you receive that? Through praise. Hey, you're such a good dad. You're such a good husband. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for being so wise. Thank you for taking to us a good church. Thank you for teaching us the Bible. Thank you for buying us stuff. Thank you for taking on this vacation. Thank you for providing for this meal. Rather than like, oh, we have to eat here. Why do we always have to get this? I never get any new clothes. Look, you're not giving him any pleasure. You know, it should be way more praise than complaint. You should just eliminate complaint and just add a bunch of praise to your dialogue. And you know where that comes from? A place of love. When you truly admire and you truly love someone, you know it's going to be constantly flowing off your lips? Praise to that person. So my question is, how much do you love your Father? Well, I never praise Him. I never compliment Him. I never do anything good. I never say anything good about Him. I just complain, and I'm constantly, you know, attacking Him, saying all the negative things that He does. Doesn't sound like you have a lot of love. Doesn't sound like you have a lot of respect. You know, a lot of people do this to God. They're constantly blaming God for all the bad things in their life rather than praising Him for all the good things in their life. Yeah. Go to Psalms 89. Go to Psalms 89. Look at verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. God's house is a house to give Him honor and reverence and love. What a shame if we come to God's house and we complain and we criticize what God has given for us. No, we should be praising Him and glorifying Him and lifting His name up high. And what kind of a shame to then go back to your dad's house and constantly complaining about Him. Just as grievous it is to come into the house of the Lord and complain about God is to go into His house and complain about Him. He's the man of that castle. And you know what? You should just love that castle. Whether it's an apartment or what, I don't know. The apartment castle, okay? Don't constantly criticize Him. Give Him joy today. You say, man, all my kids, they listen to everything I say. They do everything I say. And then they're constantly praising me on top of that. You think that dad's going to be happy? You think that father's going to have a lot of joy? I think so. Because I'm a dad and I know it's going to make me really happy. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll just give you a verse. You don't have to turn there. Go to Luke chapter 11. Ephesians chapter 5, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. What men need more than anything is praise from their spouse and their children. To be had in respect, to have honor and praise. And yeah, every man in here has shortcomings. Every man has faults. But you know what? They're not going to get better by you constantly criticizing them. And you're going to give them a lot of joy when you praise them for the things that they've done. What's another way that we can love God is through prayer. Again, prayer, while we're supposed to pray, you know, there's not really a prescribed limit. I mean, the Bible says pray without ceasing. But I view a lot of prayer as just optional in the sense that out of your own free will, you get to pray whenever and however you want. And that's an aspect of our communication with God. God likes it when you communicate with him. You know who else likes communication? Your dad. Your dad likes you to talk to him and have a communication with him and to ask him things. Now, in Luke chapter number 11, it's talking about prayer specifically. Look at verse number 9. And heal the sick that are there. I'm sorry, I skipped to verse 10, chapter 10. Verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or will he ask a fish? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Bible's saying, look, a loving father, he's not going to give his son a scorpion for an egg. He's not going to give him some kind of a bad gift. And he's saying, if you in comparison to God are evil, how much better is the gifts that God wants to give unto you? And so therefore, we need to constantly be in prayer to God and talking with God and asking for the things that we need. That gives him great joy. I love it when my children ask for something politely and I can give it to them. Dad, I sat down quietly and I ate my dinner just like you told me. Can I please have an ice cream? Yes. I want to give you one. It's when they don't obey. They're constantly mouthing off, throwing their food, just spilling water and doing all kinds of nonsense, not eating the lunch that they gave them, not eating their dinner. I want ice cream. I want ice cream. And it's like, no. Yeah. It's not that I didn't want to give them ice cream. It's that they had to what? First hearken and first obey. And then out of a loving ask, I can give it to them. But you know, the love can't happen unless you don't do the first two. Go if you would to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. I'm almost finished this morning. What's another way? So we have praise. We can give. We can pray, which would be like talking. Also gifts. Now again, we already said that sacrifice is not better than obedience. So therefore, if you don't have the first two, you can't do this. But still, sacrifice is still another way to be pleasing in your father. Giving of a gift. Your father likes gifts. This father likes gifts. I liked my coupon book. It was great. I like other gifts. There's nothing wrong with a gift. But at the end of the day, if my children don't obey me, I'm not interested in the gift. I'm interested first in the obedience. And the same is with your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father is not interested in your gift. He's interested in your obedience. Look at Matthew chapter number 5, verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Notice a person comes to God, a person wants to give a gift to God, and what is God saying? Don't give me the gift. Go reconcile with your brother. I'm not interested. Follow my commandments first, then come offer your gift. But you know, giving a gift is good. We should do the gift. But you know what? You should first reconcile with your brother. You first need to follow God's commandments. And I love the way it's worded in verse 23. That's what it says. And there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Now, what is aught? Anything. Anything. So you say, you know what? Someone in this room is mad at me. For what reason? Any reason. He says, I'm not interested in your gift. Go and make it right with him. Go and fix something. You say, well, it's not my fault. I don't care. It says ought, just anything. Just go fix it. Just go have grace. Just have mercy with your brother. Don't sit there and harbor ill will in your heart towards your brethren. Fix it. Go and make it right. Love your brethren. Be kind unto them. Do good unto them before you offer your gift. But you know what? if you do this, now you have the ability to offer the sacrifice. Now you have the ability to offer a gift and to show your love to God. God's not interested in your love when you're not following his commandments, though. Now, go to 1 John chapter 4. This is the last place we're going to go. Last portion of scripture we're going to look at. And look, this is a true, whether it's physical or spiritual, it's the same. You know what makes a parent mad? Brothers and sisters fighting. Because it seems daily. A friend loveth at all times, but a brother's born for adversity. I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of a reality. But at the end of the day, you know it'd be nice if you could just snap your fingers and all your kids just obeyed and were kind to one another all the time. It's constantly like, Mommy, he hit me. Mommy, he punched me. Mommy, he scratched me. Ah! Ah! I mean, I heard it yesterday. It was like, ow, that hurt. Oh, that hurt. You can tell they're just trading blows, you know, with one another. And they're just screaming. And then I come in there. And this is like, he hit me. No, he hit me. And it's like, you hit each other. They're never like, look, I hit him and he hit me, okay? It's just like, he hit me. So you know what? They both got spanked. And look, it's frustrating when you watch your kids fighting with one another. Hey, if you want your parents to be pleased with you, don't fight with your siblings. And you know what? Even if they wrong you, you just don't retaliate. Don't go blow for blow. That's a childish action. Adults don't have to go blow for blow. When adults have to go blow for blow, you know what that tells me? You're childish. Because, you know, Jesus could turn the other cheek. Jesus could say, you know what? You asked for a cloak, I'll give you my cloak also. Hey, you want me to walk 1 mile? I'll go two. That means, hey, someone comes up to me and says, hey, I need $100. Here's 200. Whoa. Someone, you know, uses something of yours. They say, hey, we went on the men's camping trip, and I noticed your towel, and I didn't have one. So I used it, and you're like, hey, here's my pillow, too. That's the type of attitude you're supposed to have in God's house. Right. Not, he stole my towel? Well, guess what? I took your toothbrush. Ha, ha, ha. That's gross, you know. Keep it. I don't want that returned, okay? 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 20. If a man say, I love God and hated his brother, he's a liar. Whoa. That's intense. Oh, I love God. No, you don't. Notice someone can literally say, I love God, and they don't. I mean, the Bible just spells it out. It's not a questionable doctrine. It says, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We show our love to God by loving the brethren, by getting along with the brethren, by going and fixing all the ought between our brethren. And then we offer our gifts upon the on the altar. Then we offer our sacrifice. Then we do all these good things. Verse 1 of chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now that's kind of a tongue full, but what he's saying is if you love the one that begat you, which is God,